Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I hope everyone's going to have a great weekend. We're going to watch some NFL this weekend. We'll get set for Monday night. I'm ready for Monday right now, man. I wish Ohio State and Notre Dame were playing tonight, but they're not. And if, I'll be honest with you, I'm glad they're not playing on a Friday night because I was listening to Peterlin earlier in the week, and they were talking about the ratings for the national semifinal against Texas and how they seem to be down. And I was trying to remind him, and Jeff, I think you're on board with this too, that I mean, when you throw a game in on a Friday night, Friday's normally the you're not going to, I think you're just not going to get like a casual TV viewer to pop in on a Friday night because they're not watching TV. You know, I think that's what makes the numbers even more gigantic is when you're getting casual, I kind of care fans, or, oh, is that what everyone else is doing tonight? They're watching the game. So on a Friday night, it's tough to get viewers as is because it's Friday night. It's the lowest night of the week for ratings. And then Sunday is the big one. So you always want to be on Sunday night. So I think that was one of the reasons why ratings might have been a little bit down for Ohio State. You agree with that?
Okay.
Texas? Does that make sense? I mean, sure. You believe that too, that
yeah.
Fridays seem to be a down night.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I'd agree.
All right, Jeff, we need us a quarterback. It's up to you to find one for us.
Well, we have the guy who everybody seems to think is an easy solution for the Browns.
Baskin and Phelps present.
All right, so tell me again how this is not the same old Browns.
Let's find us a quarterback.
There's a guy in Atlanta who has been benched, who has a history with Kevin Stefanski, and who may or may not be toast. We're going to talk about Kirk Cousins today.
Hmm.
Now, before I give you his story, two things jump out here. You ready?
Sure.
He's made the sixth most money of any player in NFL history.
And I say congratulations.
Already.
Yes.
And if after next year, he'll be the third highest paid player in the history of the National Football League.
That's amazing.
That is amazing, isn't it? That one to me is stunning and good for him. Right now in his career, he has made, are you ready? $293 million. He trails and counting upwards Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, and Aaron Rodgers. And next year, he's due to make $37.5 million between a roster bonus and a salary. And that'll jump him up behind Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford. The other thing is we always hear, hey, you know, well, he's Kevin Stefanski's guy, blah, 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 right?
Yeah, yes.
They actually only worked together for 2 years.
That's a long time in the NFL.
Two years in Minnesota. And here's the background real quick. Cousins will be 37 in August. He played this year coming back from a torn Achilles, was a fourth-round pick in Washington, as we know, sat for 3 years basically behind RG3, played some, but it was pretty sporadic, then was the starter in Washington for 3 years where he ended up getting paid, went to Minnesota for six, signed as a free agent, and then tore his Achilles after eight games, and Atlanta signed him for a four-year, $180 million contract, $100 million guaranteed for this last year, and then they benched him. And they probably benched him for pretty good reason. The way it's worked, and then he went to, when he was in Minnesota, in 2018, his quarterback coach was Kevin Stefanski.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really good, 70% completion, 4,300 yards, 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. And they went 8-7-1. The next year, Kevin was his offensive coordinator in Minnesota. Big numbers again, 26 touchdowns, only six interceptions. He went to the Pro Bowl, and the Vikings went 10-5 in his 15 starts, and then Kevin came to the Browns. So they had two successful years together. Another thing that jumped out to me about Kirk Cousins, this one might surprise you a little bit. As a starter, he's been a starter for basically 10 seasons.
I know where you're going with this one.
Five winning records,
yep.
Two losing records, three 500 records. But it's this. He's been within two games of 500 in eight of his 10 seasons. So in other words, he's been okay. Can I do a Menigan? Eh. That's what he's been. His best record was 13-4 in 2022 and then 10-5 in 2019. Other than that, he went 9-7 and 8-7-1 twice. So Kirk Cousins probably isn't the guy who's going to come in and, hey, all of a sudden we're 15-2. But he might be the guy who can get you to 10-7 and get you into the playoffs. I think that's kind of interesting. Now, he went to Atlanta this year. This is where this one gets sticky to me.
Okay.
And we're going to have Orlando Ledbetter join us from the Atlanta Constitution coming up at 11:20. And he can give us some real insight as to, is he good or is he toast? In the first nine games this year in Atlanta, Falcons were good. They were 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
And Cousins was the starting quarterback. And in the first nine games, had 17 touchdowns, only six interceptions. He was sacked a lot, which, you know, guy coming back from an Achilles, you might understand that. He was sacked 17 times. But in the first nine games, they were 6-3 and averaged 24.6 points per game. In his last five games, his last five starts, one touchdown and nine interceptions.
Yeah, that number kind of jumps out.
Yep, and he was sacked 11 times. The Falcons went 1-4 in those last five games, and their scoring from the first nine at 24.6 dropped to 14.4. And Raheem Morris and the guys in Atlanta had seen enough, and they benched him and decided to start Michael Penix. It was a bad situation because they brought in Cousins, who they thought, hey, great, you know, he's going to be our starter for a while. And Cousins thought, I'm going to be your starter for 4 years.
Right.
And my wife's family lives here now. This is going to be great. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they draft Penix. Cousins said, you know, Atlanta, you know.
He said Minnesota would never do this to me.
Minnesota never lied to me like Atlanta
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. So it sounds precarious from before he ever even takes the field. Then he's really good for nine games. And then he's really bad for five games. And now they're going to get rid of him. Maybe. Here's the catch. How can the Falcons move on from Kirk Cousins? There are a number of ways.
Okay.
Anybody who wants to trade for him, and I've seen trade scenarios out there. One had the Browns as one of five teams willing to trade for him, and they said it would take something like Juan Thornhill and a fourth-round pick.
It's been nice to see him.
And with everybody, the guy who wrote this story put together a defensive starter and a fourth-round pick. So, but if you want to trade for him, it'll cost you $37.5 million because he's guaranteed $27.5 million for his salary next year and a $10 million roster bonus for 2026 if he's on the roster by March 17th. So if the Browns wanted to trade for him, Andy, $37.5 million. And
can they push some of that down the road to help themselves out? I don't know. This is where I get really confused on the contract stuff.
I don't know.
Would they have to figure out a way to push stuff down the road?
They could probably renegotiate because most of the money that he's already been given by the Falcons, you know, that he was guaranteed $100 million, he's already got most of it. He got $50 million up front.
Oh, well.
When he went to Atlanta. And then he got like a $12.5 million salary. So $62.5 million of the $100 million guaranteed is already there. The other is coming up. Here's the other thing. He has a no-trade clause. So even if you want to trade for him, he can go, nah, I'm good.
So doesn't that...
And the Falcons would have to pay him.
Right, but to get him here, it would be based on his relationship with Kevin, don't you think? That's how you get him to leave Atlanta, especially when you say things, and I think you value this
maybe.
Big time, that if his wife's family's from Atlanta... And he thought this
is going to be great. I can retire and be here with the in-laws.
Right.
Yeah, that could be interesting. So what does this scream? it screams Cousins wants them to release him. Because if they release him, then they're going to have to pay him like the Broncos had to pay Russell Wilson. And then he can go pick where he wants to go and sign for next to nothing like Russell Wilson did in Pittsburgh, thus allowing his team to have a starting quarterback on the cheap and spend money elsewhere while your quarterback still gets paid. That's what this could be. And that's what he wants, at least according to what everybody says.
I mean, that sounds like a very good scenario for the current condition our franchise is in.
Except
right now.
For this.
How can there be an except for on this? Keep going.
Except for this. Do you think he can still play?
Yeah.
That's what this gets back to.
Here's what
I think. Can he still play, or did he just... Is he shot?
Do you think the thing that concerns me the most is the 16 interceptions this year? Because I feel like we've gone down this road now 2 years in a row, except Flacco was able to do it and win, and but Winston wasn't.
True.
So what I would have.
And in the last five games, one touchdown, 9 interceptions, 11 sacks. And 14.4 points per game.
That's
what I want to talk to Orlando about is, okay, was that an aberration or is this guy toast?
Yeah, I think that Kevin, you know, if he's coming here, it's because of his relationship with Kevin.
Do you really think that?
Yes,
okay.
I do. Why would he, I mean, if he could
Why else? Because this would give him an opportunity to show everybody that he can still play.
Again, and the Browns can give him that opportunity maybe better than other teams
well,
can.
Well, the Raiders could. The Steelers could,
yeah,
if they move on from Wilson and Fields.
If you're trying to rehab,
the Titans could, but they have the number one pick.
If you're trying to rehab, wouldn't we want to go somewhere where you could be comfortable? And Kevin probably could give him the option of being comfortable. And Kevin has shown success in this situation with Joe Flacco here.
I agree. Kevin is there is something there. But remember, he's only been with Kevin for 2 of his 13 seasons in the National Football League.
That's all it takes, man.
That might be true.
And those years were which years?
That
was
might
it?
Be true. 2018, when Kevin was the Vikings quarterback coach and Cousins completed 70% of his passes.
Right.
And 2019, when he was the offensive coordinator. Under Kevin, he threw 56 touchdown passes and only 16 interceptions.
I mean, he started
in 2 years.
He started 31 games there and had 18 wins. I'll take it. I take a flyer on this, especially if it doesn't cost you a whole lot. If you've got Atlanta footing the bill on this. And you can also draft somebody that you can have ready, and there's no hurry to get him on the field.
He could be the perfect solution if he can still play, because in theory he won't cost you much, and he's old, and you'd bring in somebody else to develop.
Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He'll join us next to talk about what we're talking about here, plus Brian Anderson at High Noon, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.